This is Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
So, is it the new football season already, I hear you say? Have we passed the summer by? Have England come back with the World Cup in their capable arms? No. Primarily, it's a Fly Me to the Moon podcast special, though we haven't actually managed to get the podcast jingles put together for the World Cup as yet, but we're holding them back. Anyway, Rob Nichols, as ever, in full force. How are you, Rob?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. I see. So confused there. We weren't even getting a microphone to it together. It's like, oh, my word here. And we've got
That's the summer for you.
Well, yeah, it's just a different line of things outside.
Close season.
Precisely. It's all awesome. I have to say, pleased that Blackpool got promoted.
Yeah, absolutely. It just shows you they got a bit of momentum going, didn't they, towards the end of the season. It should be a good test for their three-sided ground in the Premier League, whether they can get the other stand built inside. But yeah, breath of fresh air and all that, isn't it, really? It's and one Lancashire club comes down, another one replaces them.
Also with the letter B. It's quite surprising own way. But you know, that magical thing was there in every sense of the word. Anyway, obviously we won't play Blackpool next season, unless, of course, it's the cup draw. Briefly, before we talk about the World Cup and, of course, the special issue Fly Me to the Moon game for the Sir Bobby Robson Foundation on Sunday the 6th of May 2010. So hopefully, fingers crossed, etc. People should... It has been.
Yes, it was a big charity game we had for Sir Bobby Robson at the Riverside. And there was about, I think it was about 500 or 600 people came to watch it, which is brilliant. And it was a draw at the end of it. Just people paid £200 from sponsorship to play for the, you know, and it was a tie, but the fans demanded they came back for a penalty shootout, which was also a draw.
That's a tension that's there. I noticed that a certain Mark Proctor was playing at number 6 for the away team. Is that the Mark Proctor?
It was Mark Proctor and the Paul Kerr, but Paul Kerr tried to do a fancy bit of footwork, and he dummied the ball, and he basically had to limp off afterwards, which is quite embarrassing for him.
Still, nice to see that Paul's quality at failing dummies continues in the same sort of area.
Raised over £12,000 from the match, which is a lot of money, I think.
Fantastic.
And all going to
Accordingly, the special issue of Fly Me to the Moon, obviously these could be worth billions on eBay if you're in a special treasury routine here with Steve Gibson on the cover there. Fly Me to the Moon game for the Sir Bobby Robson Foundation, which is great stuff on that. We'll refer to that later. Of course, also in the studio, two fine folk who, I think it's fair to say, Rob, proved to be two of our little gems during the season they developed. I mean, we had a few sort of fine folk who came along and did some performances. I mean, who could ever forget Dean Wilkinson? Who would want to forget Dean Wilkinson and his unique, you know,
that's right,
no appreciation of football
whatsoever.
Andrew Glover, will he ever return?
No appreciation of football whatsoever.
There we are. But, you know, towards the end of the season, we had, of course, the legend Khadim. You see, after all these months, finally getting to get pronunciation. Khadim.
How many times have you read out his poem?
Exactly.
And word perfect.
There you go. Exactly. Khadim Hussain back with us. And, of course, our chef who once used to keep a weather eye out on the Hurworth training grounds for Middlesbrough players, over-egging the pudding in every sense of the word, of course, Aaron Craig.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Okay, so coming up on the show today, we'll be looking at World Cup mascots and having a general thought about the whole mascot theme and such like. But most importantly, we'll be looking at the whole South Africa league system and so on. Now, why are we doing this? Rob, why are we doing this?
Because it's the World Cup. It only happens every 4 years. We've got to get excited about it. And we do think that England have got a bit of a chance this time.
And you will be going over there to obviously add your support to...
Well, there is that as well.
Yeah, precisely.
Absolutely.
And thanks to hopefully GoSim, you will be able to do a couple of reports with us at least.
I hope so.
Yes. Yes.
Incoming calls.
Well, always, exactly. But at least that'll be sorted through. So I take it that Penny Roberts and GoSim have come up with that then.
That's right. Very good. Very good package. I think for anyone travelling to England games.
Yeah, it basically means the cost of local calls, or equivalent of local calls, as opposed to actually worrying that you'll come back from your trek with a huge sort of
scenario.
Already Khadim has actually been saying, yes, well, for the Cricket World Cup, we need to sort out something else, and I'm sure we will. Sure we will, exactly. Okay, let's have a look at the schedule. We'll do sort of four of the groups before we take a short break here. We'll start off with Group A, South Africa, Mexico, Uruguay and France are the key points there. Clearly, the opening game, June the 11th, South Africa-Mexico in Joburg, or brackets Soccer City, in the line here. What are our thoughts on that one? I mean, usually the home organisers make it to the quarterfinals, don't they, or thereabouts. They usually get through the group stage.
It's an advantage, isn't it, for the competition? Mm. Because you remember going back, Japan did really well.
Mm. Of course, Hiddink, of course.
Yeah.
Was in charge then.
And that was with the, obviously, South
that was South Korea. Korea, of course,
and
yes.
South Korea got right through to the semi-finals. Yes, yes. Japan got through at the quarterfinals, I think, and the interest suddenly fell away when they were knocked out. And obviously, Germany did much better than anyone thought they would have done in the last World Cup. Yeah. But the other factor in that group is maybe everyone's
the hands of Thierry Henry.
Exactly. Who, you know,
who's going to bounce it around? Is it Harlem Globetrotters? Who knows? And to be fair, Uruguay are—I don't say dark horses, but they usually—they produce some sort of game. It's not an easy group.
No, Diego Forlán, of course, had as Fulham know to their cost, looked a class act, didn't he? Mm, mm. And he'll be leading their attack.
Yes, it was so close and yet so far as the Europa League was concerned.
Yeah.
But as indeed we said to Fulham supporter Mike Diamond, well, you've obviously matched the Middlesbrough scenario and experience right up to the final result. Although I think Middlesbrough probably had a little bit more of a bit of a hammering, really, as far as I recall. But
all right, you had to recall that.
So let's just quickly go around them. My feeling for Group A are the two group teams that I anticipate going through to the next area are South Africa and France. I'm going to say South Africa and France. I know that might upset a few Irish folk around, so we'll go straight away to... actually, I suppose it's a Republic of Ireland, so you're more kind of Northern Ireland. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Obviously, France have been like a good team for the last few years. Mm. I reckon, as you like, South Africa's bound to go through, and I reckon France as well on that group.
Okay. Kadim?
I think I would agree with that. The home advantage with the home sport, South Africa. And the next best team in that group has to be France.
Oh, well, I don't know. Rob, are you going to throw?
I don't think South Africa are very strong, and I think France. I think the fact that they should have been eliminated by Ireland is no surprise in a way, because they look pretty weak for a few years, and the manager, they've already lined up the next manager, haven't they, for after the tournament. I think two teams will struggle through, though.
But for a moment, I thought you were going Mexico-Uruguay. I have to say, Mexico...
Oh, actually, what am I talking about? No, I think Mexico will definitely be through. Mexico played phenomenally against England. I've watched Mexico in previous World Cups. They come usually with about 60,000 or 70,000 fans behind them. They're the best-supported team. And I think, myself, it will be South Africa and Mexico. The shock will be... Like once before in Japan, where France fell at the first.
Mm. Interesting, and as you rightly say, I think without the wonderful roll down his arm and then tap in by Peter Crouch from an offside position, we could have been in a tricky position at half-time, really. But obviously, they moved on from thence and had a 3-1 victory. Of course, it was just a friendly, so interesting. Okay, moving on to Group B, Argentina, Nigeria, South Korea, and Greece, kicking off, of course, June the 12th with South Korea and Greece and Argentina, Nigeria. Diego Maradona, of course, looking after the Argentinians.
I don't think that's good for them, is it? The amount of great players he's left behind out of the squad. You only had to look at the Champions League final of the week, and you see players playing Zanetti and Cambiasso.
Cambiasso, no chance. It's amazing Lionel Messi has actually made it, really, from that point.
It is, really.
But, clearly, he's given an opportunity to the boy. I think Carlos Tevez is around, or is he? No, I'm not sure whether he is.
Yeah, he's a bit useful.
We'll be there from that. So, it's Aaron for this one. Argentina, Nigeria, South Korea, and, of course, from Europe's officially most debt-ridden country, Greece.
I think it's a stab in the dark. I think it's probably Argentina and possibly Greece.
Well, I think I will go for Nigeria and Argentina. Just have a sense that they might. African World Cup.
Yeah.
Could perform a bit like the Egyptians always do, although they're not actually there. And I have a sense that, you know, they might well sort of be just driving further forward.
Greece are incredibly inconsistent. The lurch from winning the Euros to not qualifying for the next tournament, you know, that's.
I can see them losing against Argentina, possibly getting a draw against Nigeria, and possibly even losing against South Korea.
Mm.
But that's where we are, South Korea. I mean, the sort of the initial.
So, well, we remember what South Korea were like 8 years ago, but.
Well,
we don't
do.
Remember anything about them since.
Exactly. No, someone's got a clue for what's happening. Cardi?
Well, I think I'll go with Argentina and Nigeria. Nigeria mainly because it'll be their home sort of sport, home ground, if you like.
These, of course, will come back to haunt us because, I mean, once they go up on the web, they'll be there forevermore. So we'll say, oh, what do they know what they're doing, what they're talking about, etc. and Rob?
Yeah, I think Argentina and Nigeria as well, yeah.
Okay, the group that you may know exactly who's actually performing in it, of course, because you will be there in Rustenburg, and then I believe you're. Are you off to see?
I'm not in Rustenburg, actually.
Oh, you're not in Rustenburg.
I'm only seeing the one game in that group.
Oh, I thought you were going to see England versus the USA in Rustenburg.
I am going to see England versus Algeria in Cape Town.
Oh, and your other events. Where can Rob Nicholls be seen?
In Cape Town, actually. I've got three games in Cape Town, one in Durban. The distances are quite big in South Africa. It's almost like going across. Well, it's like flying across Europe between venues.
Let's hope no volcanoes erupt. Otherwise, you know, we will be in a pretty pickle. Which games will you be present at, Rob? We've obviously got the Cape Town England Algeria game.
Yeah, I'm at that game. That's the game from this group,
which is of course on June the 18th. Exactly.
It's the second game, isn't it? For England.
It is the second game for England. The first game, of course, being on the second day when they take on board USA, USA, USA,
yeah,
USA.
That's right.
A replete, of course, with lots of USA folk keen to obviously get one over the former colonial
people. Yeah, yeah, there'll be lots of tea being thrown around.
Precisely. whose turn? It's Cardiff. Who are you going to go for this group? England, USA, Algeria, and Slovenia.
Well, England, obviously, because the stronger hand of God as well, Peter Crouch. And Algeria, I think the wet, hot weather and being in Africa again, they probably have advantage. So I'll go for Algeria and England.
Well, I think I'm a home mic for Aaron. Your thoughts?
Yeah, same for Dean there. England, we hope go through, but looking at the group, they should go through. And Algeria, obviously, the same. They obviously know where the country, the heat and stuff, they'll be able to stand. I'm just wondering if England will be able to stand the heat down there. Cause
it's the winter.
It is the winter, yeah.
Remember
the
hot southern hemisphere?
It will still be hot.
It won't be hot in Cape Town.
You see, that's the thing about the World Cup. It educates people, Rob. You know, it educates them to different time zones, etc. Well, those of us who remember the Japan game, 7 a.m. in the morning we'd be getting up to watch those games. You know, we knew about time zones, etc. All slots into place.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go England and the USA for that.
Yeah, it's really difficult because you've got, once again, you've got countries that don't really play each other, you know, the different continents. USA won the... did they get to the final? Or was it get to the cup?
The sort of cup they have for the America's Cup. Confederacy.
Did really well. Well, they almost got hammered, didn't they? And then they came back from it. And Slovenia beat Russia, didn't they?
They did.
Which was a real shock because everyone was thinking Russia were like coming along well.
Goose hitting.
Yeah. Imagine if we'd had to play each other in that. That would have been a much more difficult thing. So you can't discount them because that's quite some feat to beat them. But I agree. I think definitely agree with everyone about England. Algeria, of course, got several players playing in the Premier League who do very well. But I think England and USA as well.
Skipping on to Group D, and of course we see Fabio Capello's boys going all the way to the final and then probably having a glorious failure. But, you know, that's a thought. At least Adam Johnson is scoring penalties like nobody's business. You know, the latest news that came through is Crouch has been missing penalties and a couple of the players were just Gareth Barry apparently wasn't up to speed, etc. But in terms of the penalty selection, Johnson's been scoring them quite easily, you know. One after the other, basically.
He has to make the cut, surely.
I would have thought so, yes. Less certain about Sean Wright Phillips and Gareth Barry, but that's another course entirely.
Yes.
Different line there. Okay, on to Group D. Germany, Australia, Serbia and Ghana.
I'm actually going to Germany versus Australia.
Because of Mark Schwarzer, perhaps? Al Rhys-Williams?
Well, that's right. I think it's... it should be a really good game. I think Australia could be really weak in this tournament. Actually, I think looking at the squad, there's a lot of players that maybe just gone over the hill, like Harry Kewell.
Is he still playing?
Yeah,
amazing.
I'm surprised they haven't got Mark Viduka out there.
Oh.
But I think you might find them having a lot of fouling going on. Mm. You can't. Germany are going to do it again, aren't they? Going to get out of that group.
They don't have Michael Ballack.
No.
Or as Jose Mourinho used to refer to him, Ballack. But, there we go. That's Josie for you.
No, it was a nasty foul, that, wasn't it? By Prince Boateng, it was no longer German.
Exactly. Or a prince, in fact.
Exactly. No longer a prince, yeah.
One of those two things. And no relation to George, of course, the former Middlesbrough player of the same name. At least I don't
That's
think
right. No, exactly. No, I don't think so, no.
Excellent. So, what are we going to go for that one?
Germany, definitely. Mm-hmm. I think I'd take Australia to be eliminated.
Right.
Who else have we got?
We have Ghana and Serbia. Ghana, of course, without Michael Essien.
Oh, I know, that's right, Michael Essien. I saw Ghana play USA in Germany. They've got fanatical support. They've still got some good players apart from Essien. That's a massive blow, isn't it?
It is.
For a team that might have gone a long way.
Hmm?
I'm still going to take them to get through, actually.
So Ghana and Germany. Kadeem?
Well, I think I'd agree with Rob. Ghana and Germany. I say Ghana being sort of the home sport, Africa, the African continent.
Mm.
So probably...
Well, I'm going to go Germany and Serbia. Mm. A strange feeling that you have a case of surprise. And what about yourself,
Well,
Aaron?
I rate most of the African teams. They all sort of tend to be quite good. So definitely Ghana and Germany, they're bound to go through. Like, I'll be very surprised if they get knocked out, so...
It's at halfway mark. We've already selected counting, you see, just losing. We've selected
it's
eight
tricky,
of the teams.
Tricky counting.
That as far as the Fly Me to the Moon team are concerned, how do you think they cope with the extra
season.
Things for that? Precisely.
Counting goes out the window.
We will find out exactly what the selections of the Fly Me to the Moon team are for Group E, Group F, Group G and Group H. And we'll have a look at some of the World Cup mascots, plus a few thoughts on Colin Cooper's demise from Middlesbrough Football Club, Gary McAllister's arrival, no doubt, which will add a whole range of things after this.
I'm talking to Charles Ather of Ather & Co. about what happens when you've had an accident at work, but your employer has shut down, gone out of business, or been bought out.
Even if your employer's gone out of business, you may still be able to claim compensation from their insurer. I'd urge anyone injured at work to contact Ather & Co. It's possible you could have a significant claim.
And Charles, it isn't just the money, is it?
That's right. By making a claim now, you can make a real difference to somebody's safety in the future.
Call Middlesbrough 222-575 or text advice to 81400 now. Choose the one you know.
With over 80 ensuite bathrooms and a high quality care for residents provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides a perfect home for its residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs.
A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate residential, elderly EMI and nursing service users, offering both short and long stay accommodation as well as respite and daycare.
To find out more, please telephone 01642 308 188.
Did you know? Many motor insurers are owned by the same few parent companies.
No, nor did I, until I spoke to personal injury solicitor Charles Ather.
The aim of these big companies is to minimise costs by negotiating a knock-for-knock agreement or pushing you to settle quickly for a minimum payout.
So if you have an accident, you may be better off choosing an independent solicitor who acts only for you.
Of course, but then you'd expect me to say that, wouldn't you?
Call Middlesbrough 222-575 or text advice to 81400 now. Choose the one you know, Abba and Co.
From Middlesbrough to the world, this is Fly Me to the Moon. The podcast.
Marvellous. World Cup special podcast, of course. World Cup Willy. You couldn't get away with it today, could you, really, in terms of mascot? You know, the official line, not a very well-drawn image, feeling very much of its time, but World Cup Willy, athletic, strong, bold and British, according to the experts here in World Soccer publication. You have to give some credit to Willie because he was the character who started the whole idea of the World Cup mascot, and as such is undeniably an important figure. So in many ways, Rob, World Cup Willie being the father of Juanito in Mexico, Tip and Tap in 74, Gauchito in Argentina, Naranjito in Spain, Pique in the 1986 Mexican World Cup, the Chow of 1990s Italy, Atto, Kaz and Nick, who I always thought were very strange in the 2002 Korea-Japan World Cup.
Yeah, they were.
Very bizarre, etc. Mm. I mean, we'll talk about Futix in 1998, Striker, of course, in 1994 for Germany, and Goalie 06. Of course, they now have Zakumi. Here we are. The Zakumi World Cup mascot, looking very green and yellow there.
Very green and yellow,
and
yes.
And slightly scary.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's got some sort of disease on his arms.
I think that's because he's possibly got a kind of cheetah tiger routine.
Oh, I see.
That's spots,
right.
Know, leopard, all that sort
yes.
of thing. Speed, accelerating. Apparently, the style of this illustration apes manga a little bit, which is a good thing because it's a style that people are familiar with throughout the world. And Zakumi, which is not just for kids, it's for basically anybody who wants to see the 6-foot versions of Zakumi in Dubai, who are sort of there. Apparently, kids can't stop from running up and tugging at Zakumi.
Right.
So control yourself, Rob, when you're over there. Just you say Zakumi walking down the street, you know.
Run.
Run for the hills. Yeah. That's the important setup. And do we know, I mean, Aaron, are you a football mascot person? Do you sort of follow these things through?
That's something I've never even thought about, Alex, to be truthful.
Oh, okay. Aaron. I mean, I forgot, of course. Oh, no, Aaron. Kadeem.
Yeah.
You see, names, numbers. It's the summer season.
Yes.
You know, get yourself in order.
It's any season.
If we're looking at this, I forgot to mention, England are already halfway to being double world champions this year.
They are, yes.
Because of the 2020.
2020, they won it in style.
Yeah, precisely. So, you know, just one step away from, you know, another.
Yeah, the double, yeah.
Precisely. World Cup mascots?
I'm not giving them much thought, to be honest.
They are. I mean, they have become almost an essential part of the piece. And I mean, we've just seen the revelation of the Olympic mascots. And people said, how similar to Clegg and Clamoran they actually are in their own sort of ways, basically.
Yeah.
Running around in their own way. Marvellous. Heavy political point there. OK, let us move on to groups E, F, G and H. In this little prediction round that we're actually having. Group E, Holland, Denmark, Japan and Cameroon. Holland, Denmark, Japan and Cameroon. Whose turn is it? I think, is it my turn? It's,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Holland and Cameroon.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm going to go Holland and Cameroon. And over to you, Kadeem.
I think, yeah, Holland. I don't know. I'd like to see Denmark. I don't know why. Because I have a feeling it would be Holland and Denmark. Mm. Opposed to Cameroon.
Denmark, obviously, the home of PharmaNord nutritional supplements, so, you know, possible line there, mention that. Aaron?
Well, sticking with the African theme, we'll go with Cameroon.
Yep.
And with the links Holland's got with being from Northern Ireland, I'd go Holland.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Holland go for
you see,
it.
That William and his orange people.
exactly, yes.
The oranges, yeah. Would have thought that sort of goes through there. Rob?
No, I couldn't disagree. I think Holland... when you go into a tournament, Holland's the country you all look for, don't you? Because of the way they play football, and actually for me, Cameroon as well. I always think they provide some of the stories, and I've watched them before, and I've watched them in Japan.
They are the indomitable lions.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and of course they gave the world Roger Miller's wonderful dance.
Who could forget?
Yeah, precisely. Something that perhaps Gordon Strachan needs to look at in terms of goal-like celebrations, really. You know, looking to copulate with a corner flag could be a possible winner next year.
Oh, it's all hat now.
That's true. It's very true. Group F, Italy, Paraguay, New Zealand and Slovakia. Aaron.
I'd go with, probably the first one would probably be Italy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see them getting knocked out. Mm. And what was the last one, did you say?
Well, you see, people never remember Slovakia, do
Slovakia.
They? You
know?
It was getting mixed up with Slovenia.
Yeah, exactly, Slovakia,
yeah,
Slovenia.
Slovakia I'd go for on that there.
Oh.
No particular reason, but usually they're quite good, aren't they, fighters?
Mm.
But are they as strong as when they used to be connected with the Czech Republic and they were generally Czechoslovakia, you know?
Well, I'd say that the Czechs have usually set the World Cup alight early on, don't they? Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit like if you were Wales and you split in two, you'd have Wah and Les. And it creates so many challenges, really.
Just like that, isn't it?
Or Eng and Land. You know, it's going to be very difficult if you work through that. So your choices are, Aaron?
Italy and Slovakia.
Italy and Slovakia. Okay, Rob?
Definitely go for Italy. Well, the current holders, are they not?
They are.
Yeah. Obviously, Paraguay, another country. There's a couple of players in the Premier League from Paraguay. Mm. So, there's usually like the outside of Brazil and Argentina, you don't know any of the players, do you? And they're not used to European conditions. This isn't in Europe. It's the fact it's in Africa. Mm. You're not sure.
Who's the first time ever. Exactly. Mm. Could be a whole range of things there. Could be affected by the WAGs. We already saw the news this morning that Ashley Cole is claiming that his wife, ex-wife to be, is badly affecting his World Cup chances. It starts now already, the excuses. Not good at all, really.
I'm going for Italy, Paraguay.
Okay. Kadeem?
Well, I think the current champion, Italy, will definitely be through. And I think I'll go for Paraguay. Because as Robert said, it's outside Europe, it's in Africa. Mm-hmm. The conditions probably suit them.
Yeah, I will go Italy, Paraguay as well. So on to Group G, Brazil, North Korea, Ivory Coast and Portugal. Anybody going for Ivory Coast and North Korea then?
Well, why not?
I think Mello was saying that the Ivory Coast is one to watch, I think. So.
Yes, he was, that's right. Yeah.
So.
Well, they do, of course, have that wonderful, happy fellow who always plays with a smile on his face every time he puts on the Chelsea boots, Didier Drogba, of course. Always on top form, really, in that sort of point of view. So,
Yes, they've got two or three very good players, actually, haven't they?
Portugal have that little winker, of course. winker, in case you're worried. Yeah. Mr. Ronaldo. Interesting lines there.
Yeah, and obviously Brazil-Portugal playing each other that, you know, both speak Portuguese. There's often a bit of a grudge between them.
Could be the group of death.
Could be.
Yeah. So I still say Brazil, Portugal. Aaron?
I'll say, like you, Brazil, Portugal, but I'd like to be Brazil.
Or North Korea, of course. Okay. Last time they were in the World Cup, England won it, so that's the omen.
I'm actually going to see North Korea versus Portugal, which is a repeat of the 1966 World Cup quarter-final at Goodison Park, where... am I right in saying North Korea were 3-0 up at half-time?
Precisely. And June 21st, Cape Town. And yeah. North Korea, of course, very much taken to the hearts of the former Acer Essen Park people.
They were indeed, yeah. That's right. So, I'll obviously have to cheer for them again, obviously. Yeah,
and if you bump into any North Korea fans, of course, Rob, you can turn around and say, we loved you in 66, Essen Park is no more, but please, that's no excuse to start launching submarines and nuclear
missiles. That's right.
They're only going down towards America, we're all right.
Kadeem, that's not quite the action we like to take, basically, really. In fact, we're heading towards South Korea as well. Yeah, we want harmony.
And Japan.
Precisely. Who knows, they might meet each other in a strange alternate dimension. And finally, Group H, Spain, Switzerland, Honduras and Chile. Spain, Switzerland, Honduras and Chile.
I think it's got to be Spain and Chile. I think Honduras will probably be the weakest team, really. Switzerland have a habit of not getting any points, as far as I recall. You know, they look quite good, but they're very negative. But
it's probably going to be Spain 1, Switzerland 0, Chile 0, Switzerland 0, and then Switzerland 0, Honduras 0.
Yeah.
And they'll say, we got 2 points, but it wasn't good enough.
The group was asleep.
Exactly. And chocolate, of course, and watchmaking. Time, you know.
Ah, clever.
But there we are. We don't want to sort of just go down to national stereotypes here.
Who will it be, the cuckoos?
Oh, nice one. I'll say Spain and Chile, I think, from that point of view. Aaron?
Yeah, I agree with you. Spain and obviously Chile, I think, are the two teams, the strongest teams there anyway. So.
Okay. And Kadeem?
I think I'll go with that, yeah, Spain and Chile.
There we are then. You want to actually find out exactly what our predictions are, just play the podcast back again. You know, quite simple. You know, all sorted through there.
Yeah. And we can't do the work for you.
Yeah, exactly so. You know, we might go into Road 16 and various other bits and pieces. We have to mention Colin Cooper. I was saddened to see him go, because obviously it's part of a whole turnaround that Gordon Strachan's initiating. I mean, he, in a sense, could be making a rod for his own back, because he's really setting his stall for next season.
Yes, so it's sad to see Colin Cooper and Stephen Pearce leave the club, because of long, long association.
Sure.
And I suppose the only positive for Colin Cooper is he does have ambitions to want to be a manager, so yeah. He has to turn a negative into a positive and get out there and be a manager. But it is a shame. It's a shame. It's a break with tradition and everything.
Yeah.
But you're right. He's setting his stall out. He's getting his own team together. Gary McAllister. I went to his press conference last week when he basically. What Gordon Strachan was saying was he wants to do far more coaching on the training ground this season. Obviously, being a manager, he can't do as much as he would like. He wants Gary McAllister, someone he can trust, to do it there. But he also said...
I mean, he wasn't a great success with Leeds United, was he, Mr. McAllister?
Well, he did say that they bounced off each other, and he said literally in the past they have done bounced off each other.
They do in their personal lives is not our concern. You know? I mean, we just say, you know, allegedly there could be all sorts of things here.
What a mind he's got!
Rob, you know, you just saw about my Valentine's Day special about Argord.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm sure all will come through. We've got another special coming up in the summer sometime where we talk about, obviously, the fixtures being released. And, of course, more exciting than that, yes, you will see Rob and myself together for the first time on the stage, Berwick Hills Library, same place was occupied by former Bionic Woman Lindsay Wagner last year, Monday the 12th of July. Yes, it's Middlesbrough Lit Fest, and Rob, you'll be there together with Ricky Ash, international stunt coordinator who's doubled for the likes of Johnny Depp and Fiona Bruce and a few other chaps or folk you may have actually heard of. He's got a book called With Confidence. Rob, of course, you've got lots of fantastic tales to actually tell with respect to that. Tickets, amazingly, I mean, I can't believe this. It's like three coffees, £3. Three English pads a snip.
Come on.
Exactly. 7 p.m. Berwick Hills Library. Let's just test it with the team. Kadeem, will you be there?
I'll be there, yes, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. Aaron, will you be there?
Yeah, definitely.
You see, bonus assistance as well to actually work through that. So, you know,
only costs us a £4 bribe.
Each. We did say we were having these challenges with things. Not to worry, you could access that through Middlesbrough Literary Festival. A website for Fly Me to the Moon, of course, it is
www. How many doubles that? Three. Yeah. fmttm.com.
There you are, you see. And
easy.
All sorted out for season 2010-2011. Rob, of course, will be phoning in with a couple of links, or we'll contact him from the South African scenario. Thomas Spencer Worthley, we featured, I think, on one of our last sort of productions of the season. We got in touch with him again.
Oh.
Lots of sort of things here. He was very complimentary. Not this time on a train, exactly. He did, but he was very complimentary about the Middlesbrough fan who took part in the We're England Underneath setup, which is still available on YouTube.
All right.
All went well for that. Fans from all 92 clubs actually were singing on this song. It's still the unofficial England World Cup anthem. I know there are other things that are actually available, but I thought we'd go out with this. And I think we need to vary the theme as opposed to come on Borough. We need to substitute Borough with, of course, England. So, guys, would you like to actually just fire us off on this fine particular piece with... Well, it should be Come On England and then Up England, obviously.
Up England.
up the England, it's not the same, is it? Let's just have two versions of Come On then. A one, a two, a three.
Come on, England.
Yeah, the motivation wasn't quite right then. I would have had more kind of Come On England, Come On England,
oh,
Come
England.
On England, etc. But, you know, maybe these guys get sorted through. You've been listening to Fly Me to the Moon's World Cup podcast special with Rob Nichols, Kadeem Hussain, and Aaron Craig and Alex Leftchuk. Come on, England! Come on, England!
Come on, England!
From Middlesbrough to the world, this is Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.